All right, welcome to the program. It's a good, good day. NBA tipping off tonight, game one of the World Series tonight. A lot of football to talk about and a brand new segment, What's Your Beef? Clones, what is your beef? We'll do this twice a week. You can hit me up on Twitter with your beef. You can hit me up on email with your beef. You can call the program with your beef. Do you have a beef with somebody or something? Whatever it is, hit me up. You know where to find me. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Next segment, we are talking to Saints safety Von Bell. They've won five in a row since Drew Brees went down. They look good. Good, like Super Bowl good. So we'll talk to Von Bell. Ben Golliver joins me in hour number three with the NBA tipping off this evening. 1-800-636-8686. Again, follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so right now let me go into the jungle remedial classroom so I can give you a quick lesson. Alvin, if you don't mind, I could use a little bit of music for this. Let's get academic with it. Welcome to Sports Radio 101, hosted by me, Professor Van Smack. Today I'm going to teach all of you aspiring talk show hosts how to kill an entire segment, how to kill an hour, maybe even an entire program, if you're just too lazy to earn your paycheck and create original content. One of the most effective ways to do this is to throw out this question to your listening audience. Is fill in the blank a Hall of Famer? I repeat, is fill in the blank a Hall of Famer? That's it. Class dismissed. Just go sign yourself a contract, light up the phone lines, and chip me off my 10% whenever you get that chance. I'm telling you right now, I could do 3 hours just by showing up right before the program and asking out loud, is this thing on? Can you hear me? Pete Rose, should he be in the Hall of Fame? Eli Manning, Hall of Famer or nah? Or Barry Bonds, should he be in the Hall of Fame? Because all of that is sports radio super crack on a fishing line. It's also the lamest, laziest way to ever do a program, so I'm not going to do it. Never have, never will. Now, that being said, very likely today, you're going to get wall-to-wall, station-to-station, network-to-network debate on whether or not Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer. And I'm here to tell you that the only thing dumber than the Hall of Fame question in general is the is Steph Curry a Hall of Famer question in particular. But why is this an issue? Because the GOAT himself, the GOAT of get off my lawn, 45 himself, was the one who posed that question. In fact, he didn't even pose it in the form of a question. He said it as a fact. We're here because of 45. That's right. Michael Jordan seems to think that Steph Curry is not Hall of Fame material. At least that's what he seemed to suggest on the Today Show when he puked up this all-time terrible take.
Someone asked you if you could pick four guys for your pickup team, four guys that you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I played against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know. Every single night, that responsibility to go out there and represent greatness every single night.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches this.
I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Let me run that back for a minute. Listen to it for a few things. Listen when you hear this. Listen to Mike question Steph's Hall of Fame worthiness literally for no reason at all. Like, Craig Melvin never asked if Steph Curry was a Hall of Famer. He just asked if Steph Curry should be offended that Mike did not pick him as one of his four running mates. But Mike just decides, hey, now would be a real good time to declare that Steph Curry is not a Hall of Famer. And then listen as Melvin laughs at the take and Jordan sits there silently before doubling down with, well, he's not.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches this.
I hope not. Yeah, he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
I mean, the only thing missing there is, hey, Craig, I'm not joking. What are you laughing at? What's so funny here, man? He's not a Hall of Famer, Craig. He's just not.
He's not.
Hey, listen, I understand that Mike runs on a different sort of hate and a different sort of fuel than the rest of us. That's part of why he is the GOAT. I also get that, as I mentioned, he's become the GOAT of get off my lawn. But there's no way the guy means that, right? There is no way 45 believes that, right? There's no way Mike would ever say anything that dumb, right? Because Steph Curry is an all-time great. And as takes go, if Mike truly believes that, that's one of the all-time worst. Irv cannot believe the sort of verbal diarrhea that Mike is spewing right now. Again, there's no way Mike Jordan believes that. Absolutely, Steph is a Hall of Famer all day long. He's the best shooter ever, a three-time champ, a two-time MVP, somebody who changed the way the game is played. Like, I'm pissed that I had to even spend 10 seconds justifying why Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer. So there's no way Michael Jordan doesn't know that. There's no way Michael Jordan believes what he said. And if he doesn't, and he really does believe what he's spewing, man, he's wrong. I mean, dude is not really wrong. It's just sad. It's pathetic. It makes him a truly horrible judge of talent. Actually, before he said that, if he believes that, he was already a truly horrible judge of talent. I mean, a guy like 45 must have better things to do with his time than be the ultimate troll. The only way that comment works is if he meant it literally. Like, Steph's not in the Hall. Literally. Steph's not in the Hall of Fame. Yet. I mean, if that's how he meant it, and that's what he's saying, that's like the dumbest joke ever. But if he means he hasn't done enough to get into the Hall of Fame, then that really is one of the dumbest takes ever. I mean, get that hot take or his own show already. Damn, old man. Damn, old man. You got some bleep twisted. What's next? What's next, 45? Are you going to tell me that Space Jam wasn't my movie and that it was actually your movie?
I saw part of the movie, Mike, and I just want to thank you for co-starring in my movie with me.
That's what I heard. I co-starred with you. And thanks for doing that. That was nice of you.
You're welcome, Mike. You're welcome. That was nice of me, wasn't it? That was awfully big of me to let you in my movie. In the meantime, what did I just do? I rolled out the top of hour number two and I had to actually discuss this. So, Mike, now you owe me. I mean, you already owe me because I let you in my movie. But now you owe me again. You owe me because I let you in my movie. And now you owe me a segment because that was a colossal waste of time. So I think you got to make this right with me. Either come in here and let's do 10 minutes or start bumping up my Space Jam royalty checks from 11 cents to a quarter. Come to think of it, I'm sure it kills you that I make a literal dime off that flick every time it airs. Like, I probably don't deserve that, right? Freaking MJ. Arguably the greatest baller of all time. Inarguably the worst talent evaluator of all time.
The ceiling is the roof.
And he was that even before that statement.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof, Mike. And notice I'm not really, really angry about this, other than I wasted time on this, because there's no way 45 believes that Steph Curry is not a Hall of Famer. There's no way.
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph, what's up?
Hey, Jim Rome.
I got you. Hey, Steph, how you doing?
In case you forgot, I wanted to remind you of what the NBA is. A man's game.
Oh, hell yes. How could I forget that, Steph? Hey, Steph, really quick. What's the NBA?
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph. Steph, can you hear me? Is this on? Steph, can you hear me?
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph Curry.
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph Curry. Where's Clay?
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph, can you hear me? Is this not on?
Hey, anyway, Jim Rome.
Yeah, hey, Steph.
In case you forgot.
What?
man's game.
Oh, hell yes, it is. The NBA, right? The NBA is a man's game. I know that, Steph. I know this. And I'm just saying, there's no way Michael Jordan believes that. Unless Jordan went with some lame joke about, no, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Not yet. He's still playing. Hello? He's still active. Dude, did I just do a segment on that? Damn. You owe me, Mike. You owe me for me letting you in my movie. You stole me for that. Make that right.
That's what I heard. I co-starred with you. And thanks for doing that. That was nice of you.
See? You think we're good because you thanked me back in the day? Come on, man. Listen to Melvin. Like, that's the funniest thing he ever heard. Like, you went there, 45. He said, come on, 45. You didn't say that. Good
not
joke, 45.
Yet, you're not.
All right. So, the What's Your Beef segment's coming up later on this hour. Von Bell, Saints safety, joins me when we come back. They are on a roll. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products that help everybody sleep and live better. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, bedding, and furniture, Casper is transforming the way we live. With over 50,000 five-star reviews, it is the most loved and trusted sleep company there is. Do not lose sleep over finding the perfect bed. The four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort, and their zone support has the extra support to keep your back aligned. Do you need time to decide? No problem. Sleep on it. Casper mattresses come with a 100-night risk-free trial, and you can rest easy with free shipping and free returns. Get the mattress of your dreams just like I did. Go to Casper.com. Use the code ROME for $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code ROME. Get $100 off. $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. Customer experience and product reviews are based on Casper.com, authorized retailer sites, and Google.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Game one of the World Series tonight. NBA kicking off tonight. And we are right in the midst of it in the NFL. Speaking of which, we are joined right now by a safety for the New Orleans Saints. Coming off a big game where he had 8 tackles, a pass defensed, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery in Sunday's win at Chicago. 44 tackles, 3 passes defensed, 2 forced fumbles on the year. Tied for the league lead with 4 fumble recoveries this season. He was a national champion and an All-American at Ohio State. He was the 61st pick overall in 2016. The Saints are 6-1. They're in first in the NFC South. They're hosting Arizona Sunday on CBS. Von Bell is my guest. It's great to have you on. Von, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, Vaughn. So if you were to go back to Sunday, let me start right there. You were going on the road against a team that came into the season with really high expectations. You knew you were playing without Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, among others. So what was the attitude and the mindset of you and the rest of the defense going into that matchup?
We knew it was going to be a heavyweight fight. We knew that both defense, which best defense go play, who's going to win the game and get the ball back to the quarterbacks and give them a great field position. And we stepped up to the challenge, and that's what we did.
All right, so then you come out on the first series, and you force a 3-and-out, and the special teams blocks the punt, gets a safety. How important, how huge was it to start the game that way?
Man, it was huge. Just the field position and making – turnover and a block field goal, explosive play on special teams on their side of the field, and got a safety. It built some momentum for us, and we started fast.
We're talking to Von Bell of the Saints, and then later in the first quarter, you forced a fumble and you recovered it. Can you take me through the play? What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to come up with the ball?
Man, I just seen the guy, the runner. I just seen the ball. I put my head on the ball, and I had like other guys on the defense swarming, flying, pursuing to the ball, and I just try to make a play on the ball because we have this little Saturday tape each week, and we just try to be on each week about takeaways, and we're just hunting for the ball and just trying to make an explosive play for the offense and set them up in field position to score.
Von Bell, my guest, excuse me. You know, Von, I was talking about in the open, that's your 4th fumble recovery this season. I mean, I would argue that if you do this 1 or 2 times, it might be a matter of being in the right place at the right time, but if you have 4 fumble recoveries in 7 games, there's something more to that. That's a skill, it seems to me. What is your approach when it comes to finding the ball and getting it?
Oh, man, I'll just be just as a DB, we should always just challenge each other, just go hunt for the ball and just always just find the ball, because it's all about the ball at the end of the day. And we just want to set up and make a explosive play on defense for the offense and set them up to score. And maybe we could score too, like we did previous week. So we're just trying to always just go for the ball at the time.
We're talking Saints football. Von Bell is my guest. You know, if we were to go back to training camp, your secondary coach, Aaron Glenn, made the point that last season was the best season of your career, but you're putting up even better numbers this season. So how different are you as a player now than when you first came into the NFL?
Very different. Just the knowledge of the game, growth and experience, going through ups and downs, and just learning the game and just really becoming a pro. And that's what I've been doing, just growing through the game and just growing each and every week, and just trying to play my best football towards the end of the year. But just starting fast, just really just learning each and week in and week out, just being around my guys and really just want to make a play for them.
That seems to me also that key phrase is becoming a pro, because you've spent a lot of time watching film, preparing the offseason. So when you put in all that work, does it really slow the game down the way guys say that it does? And you're able to impose, are you able to impose yourself on the game even more than in the past?
For sure. When situations come throughout the football game, you see formations, you see the down distance, and you know what you're getting. Just watching film in preparation throughout the week through practice, and just watching film by yourself and with your DB group, and it's just talking throughout the situation and knowing what you're getting, it just make you play that much faster.
Saints are 6-1. They've been 5-0 since Drew Brees went down. Von Bell is my guest. You know, Sunday, Chicago rushed for a total of 17 yards. That was one of the worst rushing performances in the history of their team. How much pride is there for you and the defensive unit to go out there and not just stop the run, but to dominate their run game to the point where they just quit trying?
Man, that's our mentality going week in and week out. It's always defend the run first, and we're going to make them pass it or play action, whatever they have to do to get the ball down the field. But stopping that first, and we just knowing the ball going in the air and just go attack it and make plays on the ball. So that's how really one of our goals is stopping the run. So we just got to make them play left-handed.
You know, it's even bigger than that, right? Like defensive tackle Sheldon Rankin said this, quote, "We take a backseat to nobody. We love our Hall of Fame quarterback. We love Teddy. We love Mike T. We love Alvin and all those guys. But at the end of the day, we're always going to put it on our shoulders," end quote. So how much pride is there, for instance, in the defense going on the road, putting the team on its shoulders, and dominating an opponent that have playoff aspirations? Do you want it on your shoulders?
For sure. We always stepping up for the challenge. Like you said, Big Rank said that. We always love our guys, and we're always trying to give them situations to make plays and get the ball back as much as possible, three and outs, takeaways, and set up a great field position. But we just put it upon our shoulders, and we challenge everybody in the back end and that whole defensive unit, put on our shoulders, and let's go win this game, because they don't have to score. They don't have to run the ball. They don't have to do nothing. We could just take the ball away. We could score too. So, and that's what we said, and we just stepped up to the challenge, and that's what we did.
You know, Von, when Drew Brees went down, it seemed like this whole thing was on the outside looking in. The outside seemed to think that, wow, it's all on Teddy, when clearly the entire team stepped up, every phase, every unit, everybody in that locker room. But in terms of Teddy itself, it's like there's not just a lot of confidence for Teddy. There seems to be so much love and respect for Teddy Bridgewater. What's he like as a teammate, and how happy have you been with the way he has stepped up during this run?
Man, he's a phenomenal teammate. He comes talk to the defensive backs all the time. We call it D-block. He comes talk to us on the side of the locker room. We always joking with him. He's, like I said, he's a phenomenal teammate. He's a leader. Everybody listen to him. Everybody respect him. He did phenomenal things in this league, and he just keep on growing in this league. And we all got our trust in him, and we all got our faith, and we just try to play much as harder on defense to get them the ball back and get those guys rolling. So just keep on having this confidence, keep on growing each week in and week out. It's good for us, and that's how we just keep on playing with a swagger and that chip on our shoulder.
Von Bell joining me for a few more moments. Sean Payton has always been one of the best head coaches in football, but when you look at the job he's done this year, is he the coach of the year in your mind, and what's it been like to play for him?
Oh, for sure. He always in my eyes, he take care of us. We take care of him. Man, we go out there and play hard. And, man, he responds well. He challenges. He got that swagger, too, and that's what we love about him. And we just make it just play hard a little bit for each other and for him. And at the end of the day, we all in this together as a unit, and that's what we're in this for. Keep on getting a win each week and keep on growing as a team each week.
Yvonne, what's a swagger? What's swagger look like on a head coach? I mean, is it play calling? Is it the way he carries himself? What's it look like on a head coach?
He just got that look and demeanor. But, yeah, for sure how he carries himself, play calling, talking, you know, talking a little mess to the team, talking mess to us, and just having that swagger, having that bounce in his step. And he know he's a man. And, you know, he got that big play sheep. He go dial up some, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm telling him when he cross something, or if he tell us a shot play coming, he execute. He not scared to pull the trigger. And that's what I'm talking about with the swagger.
I like that. Von Bell, my guest. Before you go, let's go back a little bit. You played your high school ball at Ridgeland High School near Chattanooga. What were you like as a player in high school?
Oh, man. I don't know how to explain it. I was all types of guy. I was all around. My mom just kept me in a lot of sports. I just wanted to be the best at everything I did. And I always just challenged myself. I had an older brother and just always just playing up. And he always told me. I played up in my age group. Once I get to my age group, I'll just dominate. And he always had that mentality with my dad, too. He played college football, and he just always had that mentality of just dominating. He's just always just, it's not good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. It's always the next step to your game. So I just always had that mindset, and I just carried it with me throughout high school, college, and now I'm here. And the journey continues.
And look what it's done for you. Now when you go back in the summer and you host football camps at your high school, they also have an award named after you, the Von Bell Award. It's given out by the school to the best male and female athletes. What's it mean to have an award named after you at your school? And what was your reaction when you first heard about that?
Oh, man, it was a surreal moment. I was speechless. I'm very honored and humbled by that. And I said, man, I thought they was playing with me at first. And my mom told me, one of my high school coaches called me. I was like, man, it's a surreal moment. Speechless, I'm honored. And it's just really, man, I'm just honored by it, man. It's just like, man, I left my legacy, and the legacy still continues. And I appreciate all those guys back home that's really just my supporting cast and always just looking out for me. And I just appreciate them from the bottom of my heart.
Yvonne, one last thought. I was in Madison, Wisconsin last week, and Wisconsin got beat by Illinois, so it took some of the luster off their showdown with Ohio State. As I mentioned, you won a national championship at Ohio State. You were an All-American there. Wisconsin's still coming in this weekend. What's it like when an opposing team comes into the Shoe? How intimidating is that house for opposing teams?
It is. It's going to be 100,000 people, 100,000 Buckeyes. That's going to be in that Shoe rocking. And, man, it's going to be an explosive, electric environment. And, man, it's very intimidating. I feel like it's the best stadium in college football. And we're going to have 100,000 Buckeye fans just screaming loud for us. And we're going to try to pick up another W.
Saints, 6-1 on the season. They're in first in the NFC South. Arizona is at New Orleans on Sunday. Once again, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Von Bell on the program. Von, so good to have you on. I really appreciate the conversation. Thank you for doing that. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
That was fun, Von. Good job. It's a Buckeye and a Saint and having a really good year. My thanks to him and the Saints. 1-800-636-8686. Man, they're having a hell of a year. To have Drew Brees go down the way he did and for the entire team to rally up the way it has, every unit, they're gone 5-0. I love that explanation when I said, what's swagger look like on a head coach? And he talked about Sean Payton. Man, it's just what he does. It's what he dials up. It's the way he carries himself, the way he talks mess with us, the way he calls his shot, then we execute. Good stuff right there. Saints and Arizona, by the way, has won 3 in a row. When we come back, the debut of a new Jungle segment. What's your beef? It's going to be curious to see how this plays out. Is it going to come on in the form of a telephone call or two, tweets, email? Some of you have taken this very seriously. Some of you have gone all clone with it. Our first ever What's Your Beef segment. But first, I do owe you a sports update. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Really quickly, we are debuting a brand new segment in the Jungle, What's Your Beef? So I'm asking you for your beefs. And as I also mentioned, some of you took it seriously, and some of you went clone with it. Here's an example of some of the beefs. Let me start with your tweets. Liz in Fall City, quote, I have a beef. with hair signed a writ. Liz, what can he or anybody else do about their hair?
It's lit!
They lose their hair. They lose their hair. There's not a hell of a lot you can do about that, Liz. And Mark Cleversaw tweets, I have a problem with Kawhi Leonard going to the whack-ass Clippers. Man, come on. You know you should have been a Laker.
Hashtag,
what's your beef? All right, that's not bad. That's not bad. I don't agree with that, but that's not bad. Personally, my feeling is, why did he go to, quote, the whack-ass Clippers? Because the whack-ass Clippers are a better organization. The whack-ass Clippers, to me, are a better team. Whack-ass Clippers, as much as I like Frank Vogel, have got a better coach in Doc Rivers. Better opportunity for him. And Mailman Casey tweets, Jim, my beef is with anyone with a full head of hair and any person over 5'5". Signed, Rick in Buffalo. Again, two things that you have no control over, your hair and your height. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, my beef is with the tour stops ending. You're long overdue for a trip back to Green Bay. That's fair. That's good beef. Thomas tweets, my beef is NFL schedule makers who had the bright idea that the Pats v. Jets was a good primetime matchup. Okay. Let's go to some other beefs. These beefs are via email. Hey, Rome, what's my beef? My beef is with my parents.
Okay.
Who names their only child Mitch? Mitch from Buffalo debating a name change to Dirk. Again, you're beefing about things you've got no control over. Your name, your height, how much hair you have or don't. Rome, I've got a beef and a tank full of gravy to go with it. Mark Mangino. All right, so like 1,000 beef jokes. Rome, I've got a beef with one of the XR4TI members who doesn't eat any. I listen to your show. I slide my take into your inbox, and they get the hammer by a dude that wears capris, has no less than 6 vegan cookbooks, and he runs marathons. Having a sports take gets stonewalled by a guy who does not watch any grinds the gears, Romy. Having a sports take gets stonewalled by a guy who doesn't watch any grinds the gears. Yes, he wears capris. Yes, he runs marathons. Yes, he has vegan cookbooks, but he does watch sports. I told him when I hired him. It's part of the job. What's the beef? What's your beef? Let's go to the phones. I've already heard beefs on Twitter. Well, I've read beefs on Twitter. I've read beefs on email. Let's go to the phones and hear what they sound like. Scotty in New York. Scotty, what's going on?
Oh, my God, man. My beef is with my mother. I'm sitting there watching the game, and every time Indianapolis scores, it makes me want to puke. I want to go outside her freaking head with a bat. Oh, my gosh, man. And the refs. That's another beef I have. I can't believe the refs. What is in the grass or in the grass? Oh, my God. Were they smoking grass before they came out on the field? What's up with that, Rome? I don't understand that crap. Football is so
Oh, I get it. Scotty. Scotty
like
Farrell.
I don't like that cup. Not a very good cup.
No, you're not. I know Scotty Farrell. He's a legend in this business, an icon. This, Alvin, is Scotty Farrell.
I hope you're in your car listening to me right now, you fat ass. You are despicable because you just let that happen to your star quarterback. And don't tell me you know more than me because you're some head coach. You're an idiot. You're a moron. No one, I don't care who you are. No one does that to a star player in the NFL except you, you loser.
My beef is that you would come on my show, disrespect a man like that. Because only Scotty has got that in him. One and only Scotty Farrell. All right, let's try line number one in Richmond. It's part of our What's Your Beef segment. Trip in Richmond. Hey, Trip, how are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I got beef with the Patriots. I had their kicker. I started a FanDuel account, and I played a single game, and I just needed him to kick a field goal at the end, and they got down to, like, the 30-40-yard line twice in the fourth quarter and punted it away. And I ended up winning $2 when I could have won $100.
That does kind of suck, but you can't really put that on the kicker, right? That wasn't his decision to punt.
Well, yeah, it was more of the coaches. I expected more of the Patriots. They already beat a team over 40 this year. I expected a field goal wouldn't have hurt.
All right, Tripp, I feel you. I mean, I understand how that goes, except they had already beaten them into submission. And you have to understand that the hood, Bill Belichick, is not thinking to himself, man, my boy Tripp in Richmond has probably got money in a FanDuel contest and needs an extra kick here. Yeah, I don't know if I really want to insult the Jets. I've already beaten them into submission. I've already snatched their soul. I already made them quit. I've already embarrassed the hell out of them on national TV, but I bet somewhere someone stands to make $100 on a field goal. Hey, you know what? Screw it. Let's kick it. Listen, I do feel your pain. And the reason I feel your pain is because I do dabble. And because I do dabble, there have been games recently where a guy had a clear walk into the end zone, no names mentioned, and took a knee and did the right thing. The right thing for him, the right thing for his team, the right thing for the universe, really, because karma's a bitch and it will come back and bite, but it was not the right thing for me. So I know what you're talking about. Going to any sports book. Go into any sports book and watch games and see the reaction at the end of games that have long since been decided. That's always been one of my favorite things to do. Long before there was even an easing of regulation and gaming became more and more of a prominent thing, one of my favorite things was not just to go to a sports book and get down, but to go to a sports book and hang around till the end of the game when it was long since decided and hear the reaction on a play that was made or not made. This may sound crazy, but my beef is with Jim Rome. Two of the funniest segments in history have been removed from the show. I know we're trying to make this sports talk show better, but laughing is good for my health. Bring back Self-Glass Friday.
He glassed me!
And the hack off. Son, Robert Brown. Hey, Bobby. I respect that you went like all government with it and signed it Robert Brown. Bro, if I were you, no offense, you probably want to go middle initial. There's got to be a lot of Robert Browns out there. Robert Brown. Anyway, he wants me to bring back the hack off. If I could justify it, I would, Bob. Remember, this thing died. I had to end it in the middle of it once. It was that bad. In terms of Self-Glass Friday, you mean when people glass themselves?
He glassed me.
Those rare Fridays where dudes were glassing themselves?
He glassed me.
The Self-Glass Friday. All right, I'll wear that. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I killed the hack off, and I killed Self-Glass Friday.
He glassed me.
I just got tired of people glassing themselves.
He glassed.
Yo, Jimmer, my beef? Four-way stops. People roll to the stop sign at the same time. They stop and they stare at each other. Then everybody goes at once. The car to the right has the right of way. Kevin, in Newark, in NorCal. Nice job, Kevin. Good job, Kevin. That's good. That's good. I like that. Yeah, but you got to admit, it's pretty funny though, right? Everybody stops. They all stare, and then everybody at the same time goes, screw it, I'll go, and then they all slam into each other. He's right. The one on the right does have right away, right? Hey, Jimmy, my beef is with the Whistler guy at work. Shut the hell up. Work is not that fun. It's a construction site, dork. Take your soft ass somewhere else. Damn. Thanks, Jim. I feel much better now. I almost wanted to throw my hammer towards his head. Thanks for keeping me out of jail for attempted murder. Scott from Sacktown. The thing is, this segment is working really well. I just want to make sure it's not a one-off. Like, I don't want you all to run out of your beefs. Anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go, Green Bay. David in Green Bay. Good to have you, David. What's your beef?
I've got beef with the Green Bay or the Wisconsin Badgers defense. Illinois. What a half a star recruit running back maybe, and now you're supposed to go stop J.K. Dobbins at Ohio State? Yeah, I'm not. What leader? What running back?
Alvin, how come? You don't like that call. I don't like that call. My man was a little bit upset. I am a little bit close to it because I was in Madison over the weekend. My son goes to Madison. I'm a little bit close to it, so maybe I gave him a little more leeway. He was upset, man. And I understand why he was upset. They're up 23-14. They were not having their best day, but a good enough day. Finish. Choke the Illini out. Get the hell out of there. Live to get ready for the next war. But it didn't happen.
I'm not... What leader?
My man was still that upset on Tuesday. I don't know which leader he was trying to take a run at. Jonathan Taylor? Paul Christ? I don't know.
What leader? What running back?
What quarterback? What defense? I don't know. How about what opponent? Illinois earned that game. They deserved that game. They outplayed, outhearted, out-executed. And it's the lamest cliche ever, but they just wanted it worse. They played with a greater sense of urgency. And my feeling is Wisconsin went out of their way to say, we will not overlook them. This is not a trap game. But they seemed to overlook them, right? They did not play with the same sense of urgency. They just didn't. Let's go to Kentucky. Wrapping up our first ever What's Your Beef segment. Steve in Kentucky. Hey, Steve, how are you?
What's up, Jimbo?
What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, great. Hey, I just got a problem with that old Conor McGregor. He promotes that Irish whiskey, number 12, preferred number 12. That's how old you got to be to drink it. It won't even get a fly high. It's 80 proof. The girls at the bingo hall won't even drink it. It's no good. He runs around punching old men. I'm an old man. If he comes and gets me, I'll do a shot of wild turkey and light him up. If he ever wants to meet me on the Jim Rome show and go shot for shot, we'll do it. And I've been on this show before. Self Gloss Day, it's the Cobra out.
You gotta run him, man. Cobra! I liked it. I was gonna run it. I was gonna rack him, too. Not a very good call. You just heard the guy. Cobra. We don't self glass.
He glassed me!
He glassed himself the Cobra. Listen, next time, that went pretty well. The What's Your Beef segment, we'll bring that back on Thursday. The next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty real beef that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? All right, we'll run that back on Thursday of next week, so keep it in mind. If you have a beef, save it till then. If you have a take, I'll take it right now. Still ahead, let's talk Zion. Zion had knee surgery already. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And it seems like half the world is saying, man, this dude is so durable. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too heavy. His career is already over. And then the other half is saying it doesn't matter. It's nothing. It's nothing. So I will wade into that debate, and I want to talk about Game 1 of the World Series and the matchup itself between the Astros and the Nationals. All of that plus Ben Golliver coming up next hour. Stay tuned.